Chapter 11 again this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This is part two to this message that I preached last Sunday morning, I believe it was. If you're keeping notes with me, I've gone down through verse number 6. We'll pick up our study in verse number 7. I don't know how you feel about it, but this has been an amazing book to me. I mean, just a wonderful book study, and we're almost through with it. We've come to the next of the last chapter here. I'm going to begin my reading in verse number 7. Verse number 7. Am I a little loud? Can everybody hear me okay? Am I okay? Am I too loud? Do I need to come down? Don't turn me off now, okay? But all of that. Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. True to the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I began a message last Sunday morning that I simply entitled Life Lessons, or Lessons for Life. This is part two to this. I'll tap on the head where I've gotten so far, and then we'll pick up with point number 4 today, which begins in verse number 7. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are today. We give you praise that, Lord, that you have come to seek and save that which was lost. We thank you for seeking us. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a perfect God. A God that makes no mistakes. A God who loves us, who are sinners. A God that no matter what life throws our way, you are the answer. And I pray today that you'll help me to preach with unusual power, supernatural power, the power of God. You hide me behind the cross. I confess my dependence upon you, Lord. I need your help. Help somebody today. I can't do it, but I know you can. And I pray that you'll do your will today, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. Holy Spirit of God, we know you're going to do your office work, and we invite you to do so. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's just good to pray, isn't it? I enjoyed praying right there, just talking to God. As we continue our study through this book, this chapter is packed full of practical truths to help us in our everyday lives. I agree with Pastor Clarence Sexton, who said God wants us to enjoy life. He really does. You know, it's a blessing to realize that our great God is not out to make us miserable. He wants us to have a joyful life and get the most out of it. However, in order for this to happen, we must live in submission to Him who is the author of life. See, He's the only one who knows how to live a full life with His blessings. And there are many trying to live life their own way and doing their own things. But they will soon learn that life does not pay. That kind of a life does not pay, and it does not lead to a joyful, joy-filled, Christ-centered life, God-blessed life. I don't know about you. I hope I know about you when I say this, but I don't want to take anything for granted. But I know about me. I want God to bless my life. I want everything God has for me. I don't want to go through life, get to the end of it, and God say, I had so much more for you. Now, I want to enjoy this one life God has given me to live for Him. And in order to help us, this chapter, just tying us down to this chapter. Now, folks, the Word of God's packed full of different things, but if you study just this chapter here, and you learn these five lessons that I'm in the process of giving, I've already given you three. If you learn these five lessons just in this chapter here, it changed your life. Help you get all out of life that God wants you to get. There's three of these I've already mentioned. I've already preached on them. I encourage you to go back to last Sunday morning and get this in detail. This message helped people last week. And I trust this message is going to help people this week. There's three things, verses 1 and 2. Again, I'm going to verse number 7, but I'm just tapping this on the head. Verses 1 and 2, we looked last week that a life lesson is live to give. Live to give. Don't live to get everything out of life. Live to give everything you've got to others, to the Lord, and to others serving people. The second life lesson that we studied last week was found in verses 3 and 4, and that is, don't let circumstances determine how you live. That there's going to be clouds in the sky every now and then, and there's going to be some fallen trees that you can't do anything about. Just don't let it keep you from all God wants you to be doing. Third thing we preached on last week was found in verses 5 and 6, and that is, don't let what you don't know keep you from what you should be doing. Some people just stop doing anything for God because they have unanswered questions, and they allow their questions, what they don't know and they don't understand, to keep them from doing what God wants them to be doing with their life. Now we come now to verses 7 and 8. And this is the fourth major life lesson. And these are lessons that we all need to learn. I put this lesson this way. It's verses 7 and 8. I've already read it, but if you want to read it while I'm explaining it, you, by all means, you can do that. If you do that, it keeps you from looking at me, okay? But anyway, here's life lesson number 4. Keep life in the right perspective. Let me say it again, and I'm going to explain this. Keep life in the right perspective. Now, Solomon continues by telling us to keep our lives in the right perspective. Let me explain this. There's two things he says here. In verse number 7, let me read this. He says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. What is he teaching here? Here's what he's teaching. He says, light is sweet. And anytime your eyes see the sun, see the light of day, it's a blessing. Here's his thought. Letter A under this, keep life in the right perspective. Letter A, here's what he's saying. Realize every single day is a blessing. Every single day you have. See, in this verse, Solomon mentions how the light is sweet. And it's a pleasant thing to behold the sun. In other words, it's a blessing every day you wake up and see the light of another day. One preacher put it this way, never take for granted the privilege of living another day. Anyone who has lived with a life-threatening illness or experience knows the truth of that statement. We ought to greet every new day with a thank you, Lord, to show our gratitude to God for the privilege of just being alive. We need to get into the habit of thanking God for every day He gives us to live. In other words, life is precious and is a blessing every single day. Dr. Sexton put it this way, and I like how he says this. He said, often people do not know what life means until it's nearly gone. As Christian people see that their days are numbered, the quality of life increases 100-fold as they rejoice in the Lord and count precious not just the day, but the hours in that day. It's as if life gets measured in inches instead of weeks and months. All of it is precious. You know, it'd be wonderful if we could think about life and death at the same time. Knowing that death is coming, that our days are limited, and then move back to where we are in life and say, God, help me not waste one day. We may be taken suddenly, but by whatever means we leave this world, we do not have one day to waste while we are here. If we're going to enjoy life, if we're going to live the life God has designed for us to live, then we must come to the grips with the fact that God wants us to be grateful just to live, just to be alive. Isn't this a true statement? We allow so many frivolous things to bother us. So many non-meaningful things to suck the life out of us. When compared to what is really important, these things really mean nothing. We get blown away by little remarks and less than significant circumstances. We need to come back to God and say, Lord, thank you that I am alive. Are you caught up so much in life that you forgot to thank God for today? How many in this crowd woke up and has yet to get on your face, even if it's in your heart, just to say, thank you, God, for letting me see the light of another day? What a life lesson. What a life lesson. See, we ought to thank God for each day and moment that He allows us to have. Don't be so distracted with life that you miss the gift of right now. See, right now may be all we have. Right now is all you know you have for sure. And right now is all I know I have for sure. But at any given moment, we can go out into eternity. Do we really believe that? If we do, don't you think that would be a life lesson that would change our life? Don't you think that would be something where you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to let that bother me anymore. It's not worth it. There's bigger fish in the sea. Are you with me what this point is? Amen? We need this life lesson. Keep life in the right perspective. It's just a blessing to be alive today. Secondly, letter B under this is found in verse number 8. Not only realize it's a blessing to be alive, but realize, number 2, that life will have dark days. Look at it, verse 8. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Can I pause and just say amen? In this verse, Solomon says, even if a man lives for many years and he's rejoicing in all of his days, which, by the way, you ought to rejoice in all of your days. That's the first part. Just thank God that he's letting you live another day. I mean, every day that the sun rises, any time you get to open your eyes, and that's a blessing. But he goes on to add to this and says, keep your life in the right perspective. It's a blessing just to be alive. But then don't forget this. Even if God gives you days and days and days, don't be blown off course when some of those days end in darkness. After all, a day that ends with a sunrise closes with the sun going down. And I'm telling you today that he's teaching us some great, great lessons. That just as each day begins with light and ends with darkness, life many times is the same way. Now, there are a couple of applications here. Notice I said applications. There's two of them. What do the dark days mean? What's he teaching us? What do these dark days teach us about the days of life? There's two applications here. First of all, life is not always sunshine. Life is not always sunshine. Even though every day brings new possibilities, we all know that not all days are filled with sunshine. Sometimes there are dark days. In other words, life is not always easy. Sometimes life gets hard. Life will have dark days. And just because you're having a dark day does not mean your life is bad. Some of us are wearing wounds. I'm quoting a preacher here. He said, some of us are wearing wounds in such obvious places that we cannot enjoy anything in life. It's almost as if we would rather display our dark days than talk about what God did for us during those dark days. If all we did was live in the sunshine, we would be so full of pride that no one could get near us. If all our days were days of singing and days of victory, we would be so full of ourselves, we would be good for nothing. God uses days of darkness. This does not mean that life is to be thrown away. No, no, no. It doesn't mean that life is to be stopped. No. It does not mean that life should be thought of as no good. No. It simply means that God has a purpose for those days of darkness. His purpose is to work in us. As Christians, if we will deal properly with our days of darkness, all of us will say, these brought me nearer Christ than anything else. It's not the dark days that destroy and defeat us. It's our unwillingness to respond to them properly that defeats and hurts our lives. God has a purpose. Life will have its days of darkness, but Christ is a wonderful Savior. And life is still designed to be enjoyed. Friends, we cannot stop dark days from coming. However, we should not put our heads in the sand and be blown off course when they come. Solomon says, remember the days of darkness. They will come, but they should not blow us off course that God has for us. We should learn some wonderful things on the dark days of our lives. Keep your life in the right perspective. What is it? Enjoy every day. It's a blessing today just to get out of the bed. Amen. But on top of that, understand that your life, no matter if you have 2 days or many days, even if you live many days, Solomon says, and you enjoy every day like you should, don't you forget something. Remember the dark days. For they're many. They're coming. I don't like the dark days of life. I don't want dark days in my life. But if you ask your pastor, what days were the days that you learned the most about God? What kind of a day was it when God really manifested himself to you and showed himself to you and you learned more about him in those days than any days? Was it a cloudless sky? Was it a bright sun shining? And I look at you and I say, no. It was not on the cloudless days and I'm talking about the sun shining bright that God really spoke to me and helped me. It was on the dark days. It was on the darkest days of my life, when I didn't know which way to turn and whether my baby girl was going to make it home or whether my wife had cancer. Thank God she didn't, but early in our marriage, I had no idea what those days were going to turn, but I knew it was a dark day. It was a day I didn't want. It was a day I didn't choose for myself. There was no sunshine around, but I understand that even when the dark clouds are hovering, the sun is always shining above the clouds. From God's viewpoint, sometimes he allows clouds. He allows fallen trees. He allows dark days because he walks on the dark hills and he wants to show himself to you. He wants to manifest himself to you. And unfortunately, when the sun's shining, we don't learn very much. But when you can't find the sun and it's refusing to shine, and oh, you put your hand in front of your face, you feel like you can't even see your hand, it's so dark. You can hear God say, put out your hand, grab a hold of mine, and I'll walk you through the dark days of life. Glory to God, I'm starting to feel God around this place. Amen. I'm telling you, what a chapter, friends. Good night. Keep life in the right perspective. Realize every day is a blessing from God. Secondly, realize life will have its dark days. One application of that is life is not always sunshine. But there's another application here, and that is life does not last forever. Darkness in the Word of God many times can be associated with the grave. And the second application is this, is that every life, even if you live many days, is coming to darkness. Even the longest life is short and ends at the sunset of death. One commentator put it this way, as the fairest sun that ever shone will set, and the night follow it. So the most merry life will have an end. Darkness is likened to the grave in the Word of God, and this could be what Solomon's speaking about here. This is just an application. That no matter how many days you have, enjoy every one of them. But no matter how many you have, death is coming. It's coming. Now, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker, and I know all of us are looking for him. And I know this is not encouraging, but this is lessons for life. Don't live like you're going to live forever. Amen. Because you're not. And I'm not either. I'm talking about on earth. Thank God we're going to live forever in eternity. You know what I'm saying. We're talking about life on earth now. The point is, even though we should count every day a blessing from God, let us not forget that death is coming. Kerry Smith, a mighty preacher of God, he wrote the little Dunn book that we give out here. He's a great preacher. He said it's great to be alive, but it's essential to prepare for death. He said if the sun won't continue to perpetually rise on your life, plant a lot of seeds while the sun is shining. One day when the sun sets on your life, you can be assured it will continue to rise on the seeds that you sowed. And your harvest will follow long after you're gone. Therefore, enjoy every day God allows you to see. But don't lose sight that you will not live forever. This could be your last day God lets you see. Don't lose sight of that. Hey, let me ask you a question. Don't you think if we really lived in light of that truth, don't you think it'd change our life? I got news for you. It would change every one of us. If you really believe, today could be my last day I get to see. I don't think anybody in here would say, well, then I better just go live it up. I better just enjoy everything. I mean, I better get everything I can. I better just, everything I've been wanting to do in my flesh, I better just go do it and enjoy today. I don't think it'd have that effect on you. Matter of fact, he follows it up with the last point, the last life lesson. Because could it be that maybe Solomon even thought that some people's going to take this to the opposite extreme? And say, well, then if today's all I've got, then maybe I just should live it up then. Maybe I should just live any way I want to live, do anything I want to do. Sounds a whole lot like verse 9. Because here's the last lesson he teaches. Look at it. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Notice this now. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. Look here, please. Pause. Look right here. What's he saying? He's saying, if you want to live any way you want to live, go ahead. Don't withhold anything from your eyes. And if your hands want to do it, go ahead and do it. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Wow. Here's the final life lesson from this chapter. Live with the judgment in mind. Live with the judgment in mind. See, in these closing verses of this chapter, Solomon tells us the young people, he says, young people, enjoy your youth and choose how you're going to live. Walk in the sight of thine eyes and the ways of thine heart. You make your choice how you're going to live. But you need to know something. God will judge you. Therefore, because of the judgment of God, verse 10, remove sorrow. You know what that word sorrow can mean there? It means anger. Remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You say, what's he teaching here? He's saying, listen, enjoy your youth. If you're getting up in years, and I'm not saying you are, but if you consider yourself up in years, right now you should be saying amen. Some things you can't do like you used to, right? That's natural. But you know what the problem is? Is a teenager right now wishes they were older than they are. They're 12 and want to be 16. Then when they get 16, they want to be 21. When they get 21, they want to be 25. And hey, I want to turn 40. No, you don't. Take it from me. Amen. The devil's a master at getting people to miss the blessing of right now. And Solomon says, young people, enjoy your life. And by the way, young people, this is what he's saying in verse 9. God's made life where you can do anything you want to. But you better choose carefully because you're going to meet God. Wow! I'm telling you, in view of the judgment, he's saying in verse number 10, therefore, because God's going to judge you, you need to remove anger out of your heart, and you need to take this right here. You need to put away evil from your flesh. In other words, that thought that there's a judgment day coming, even though God's made life where you can choose to do anything you want to do, if you want to do it, go ahead. God's made life with you with the free will. You can choose to do anything you want to do. But if you live with a judgment in view, it's going to help you make the right decisions. It's going to help you make the right choices. And the right choice is because I'm going to meet God, I need to start living like it right now. This is a tremendous truth for all people, young and old. But Solomon says right here to live our lives, but don't forget we're going to meet God. It's as if Solomon says we can live any way we want to, but we cannot get out of the fact that God will judge us. Now, folks, we should live with this truth before us. This is good for all ages. Amen. But Solomon's directly speaking in context to the young man, the young people. J. Vernon McGee said it this way. He said, remember, young man, now's the time to make your decisions in every category of life. It's very important that you make the right decisions, the right choices now. How many men have lived wasted lives and are living them today because they made the wrong choices in their youth? Your youthful days are empty if they are not lived right. Life is a gift that's given to us by God, given one day at a time, in fact, one second at a time. It's a precious gift, and it's to be used for the glory of God. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Dr. Sexton put it this way. He said, we're going to answer to God for every day we live. And when he said this, this gripped me. He said, life is like going through a cafeteria line and taking anything you want. But there is someone at the cash register at the end of the line. You will pay for those things. You can take anything you want from the line. But when you get to the end, there's an accounting that must take place. Go ahead and live. This is what the Bible says. Go ahead and live. Live. But live with this thought in mind. You and I will meet God for our lives. Painting a picture. The old Piccadilly, right? The lunch line with all these things that you, I'll take that, I'll take what, take one of those, take one of those, take one of those, take one of those. Life is like that. I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to choose to do this. I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You can choose anything you want. But everything you choose has a price tag on it. And when you get to the end of the line, you're going to pay for it. I'm going to tell you something. You can either choose to believe your preacher, excuse me, that's not big enough. You can either choose to believe the Word of God now, or you'll believe what I just said later. What are you choosing in life? Are you really living in reality of the judgment? Romans 14, 7 to 12 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be both Lord, both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, talking about Christians. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's to Christians. The judgment seat. And if you're looking forward to the judgment seat, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat. I'm praying. I mean, I hope that it's a rewarding day for me there. Not so I keep it, but so I can cast it. I have something to put at His blessed feet. No doubt about that. But I'm not looking forward to it.
I mean, when the Apostle Paul said, "We therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Read it in context. He's talking about the judgment seat. The terror of the Lord. There's a judgment coming. We don't like to think about it. I get it. Who does? But it's a lesson that we need to learn in our life. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you. Help me to keep this day. It's such a blessing to be alive. And help me realize that if today is dark, help me not to get off course. Just help me to reach my hand up, and I know that you'll grab my hand and walk me through it. And Lord, help me realize that no matter how many days you give me, this could be my last day on earth. I get it. And oh God, help me live today in such a way that if today I get to the end of the line, I don't have anything to pay for. This is it. This is it. This is what the Lord wants. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." After this. His name was Richard Slyhoff. Richard Slyhoff was a man who had heard somewhere, this has been many years ago, he had heard from some source, I don't know if he read it in a book, or somebody, he heard somebody preach, somehow, some way, he heard that he had a meeting with God that he was going to be called to. Now listen to this. "And this man thought to himself, when God calls my name, I won't be there. I'm going to get out of it." He knew enough about the Bible that the Bible talks about earthquakes somewhere. So he went on the search before his death to try to find a burial plot. Listen to this. "And he finally found a piece of property that had a large boulder, a large rock, just kind of leaning at an angle. And he thought to himself, in his own human reasoning, he said, I know the Bible talks about an earthquake or earthquakes. He said, I'm going to purchase this piece of property, and when I die, I'm going to request that they bury me right under this rock. And when the earthquake that the Bible talks about, or earthquakes, it's going to rattle this rock loose, that rock will fall on my body, and God will never find me." He bought that piece of property. He died, and they buried him there. But over time, that rock went from leaning this way to moving upright. Are you listening? God did not move that rock for him. He already knew better when he took his last breath. Did he move that rock for you? To tell you, when he calls your name, you will be there. You can't get out of it. Choose wisely. Let me tell you what I'm doing with you today. I'm loving on you. I'm shooting straight. And you know down in your heart, the preacher's telling it just like it is. Let it change your life. How about it, child of God? Is your life proving that you believe you will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ? Did you live in such a way this week that you proved that you believe God's going to judge you? If you say, no way, I made terrible choices, let me give you some help. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And from this point forward, I know everybody's going to fall on our face. We're sinners. We're sinners saved by God's grace. But you know what? You know whether you're trying to live right or not, friends. You know. You know. Nobody has to say, well, if you're doing this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, then you're not right. Nobody has to tell you that. You know in your heart if the Holy Ghost of God lives inside you. You know if your heart's right with God right now. You know. And if it's not, excuse me, you're living foolishly. Because today, right now, could be the last moment you have to get it right. Don't waste it. But on the flip side of this, oh, how awful it would be for this to be the last day of light that you see, and you meet God and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You will not go to the judgment seat, but you will go to what the Bible calls the great white throne. And God never makes a mistake at the judgments. The Word of God says in Hebrews 10, 26 to 31, listen to this, talking to lost people. For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, in other words, you've heard the truth, you've heard the gospel, you've received that knowledge, but you just ignore it. He said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an holy, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It ends with this: it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't let it happen to you. Come to Jesus today. Come to the Lord today. Come to Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. Daniel Webster said this. Listen to this statement. He said, the most sobering thought that ever entered my mind is I have a date with God. We all need to keep this truth in mind. Amen. Look here, please. What a chapter. Wow. And if you'll learn these life lessons, and you abide by these life lessons, you're not perfect, but you'll know Jesus as your Savior, and you'll have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope that's what you're looking for. If not, you got problems that we can't help you with. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you bless this? Would you challenge us with this? Would you help us today to be right with you, faithful to you? And would you take these thoughts and help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody who may be lost or is lost the opportunity to trust the Lord. Hey, I've preached my heart out to you today. It's because I love you and I want God's best for you. Every person in this auditorium, God has a plan for you. And it's the best thing possible for you. It starts with you knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. As they began to play through softly, I ask you a question: with God watching you and God watching how you're responding in your heart, that, by the way, nobody else can see, would you answer this question to the Lord? Not out loud, just answer this question to the Lord. Do you know for sure, without a doubt, that you are a child of God on your way to heaven? Because you have trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I want you to answer it right now in your heart, knowing that God is watching and He sees your heart. Do you know that? If you know that and you know it for sure, would you raise a hand in the air with mine? Amen. You can put your hand down. Hey, by the way, don't ever get over the fact that you can raise your hand to that question. Is there one here today? You're among believers, you're among friends, you're among people who love you. You're among people that realize that there was a day when we were lost and somebody gave us the gospel and we said yes. And we're just inviting you to do the same, that's it. Is there one today, say, Pastor Jody, I could not raise my hand to that because I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't. But let me go further. But I have a desire to. I don't know it, but I want to know that. I really do. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know that I'm going to heaven someday. Is there one balcony below without drawing attention to yourself? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I do not know, but I want to. I really do. Would you put it up? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this question. What about these points? Life lesson number four today was keep life in the right perspective. Point one under that, every day is a blessing to live. Point number two under that, life has dark days. And there's going to be dark days every now and then our life is ended with going into the darkness of the grave. Just our bodies, you understand. And I wonder today, is God speaking to you about this? Basically about not letting things bother you so much that you just waste time. You waste God-given precious moments and seconds and hours and days. Have you, God really spoke to you about something today that really helped you? I'm not saying that you need help, but something today was preached about that really spoke to you. Would you raise your hand? God helped you with these things. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Maybe God's speaking to you about keeping the judgment in mind. Living in the reality that you're going to stand before God. Hey, that'll help us treat each other right. It'll help us treat our mates right, our children right. Just to live in light of the judgment. God is speaking. We give Him praise. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Change our life with them. And help us to be creatures that not only listen to the Word of God, but obey the Word of God. May this message change us. May we live in the reality of it. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. Come on now, would you please, as he sings, come on now, please.
If the Lord is speaking to you. Jesus,
if God wants you to come,
day after day,
just come talk to the Lord about it.
I'll live for Jesus, let come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey and live for Jesus day after day.
Keep singing, Brother Gary. Still time for you if you need to
through
come.
Through every day, new joy I find. He gives to me real peace of mind. Until the day Christ I see, I'll live for Jesus who died for me.
We're playing through softly. You can look this way. We're getting ready to be dismissed in prayer. Lord's been laid on my heart lately with our church rosters, our Sunday school roles. Because that's a mission field, because there's a lot of people on our rolls who do not come faithfully to church. God's been laying on my heart lately for our Sunday school teachers, myself and everything else, along with the Sunday school teachers, and to take it serious, to make sure nobody on our watch dies and goes to hell because we assume that they know Jesus as their Savior. It'd be a great thing for our teachers to get a hold of this, since I want to go into every home on my roll and I'm going to ask them, tell me how you got saved. Tell me how you asked Jesus in your heart. It'd be a tragedy to come to Buffalo Ridge or be on the roll at Buffalo Ridge and never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Are you with me? There's a judgment coming, friends. And we need to live in reality of this. What about your family? What about your relatives? What about your associates? What about your neighbors? Your friend? What about them? Do they know Jesus? Let's go after them. Amen. Thank you for being here. To the Mosier family, all of you here, God bless you. We love you all around here. Thank God for you, each one of you. Thank you for standing with your mom. Appreciate that. went home last night. I told my son about going to visit there. When I found Russ walking with his mom around the Daniel Boone track, they were holding hands. He stood there to talk to me, put his arm around his mama. It's the way it should be. That's a testimony. Amen. I could preach all day. I know you say, I know you can, Pastor, but don't do it, right? Can I give you one piece of advice as you go? This is completely off the subject. You go out to eat today, don't you dare leave a gospel tract without giving a good tip to these waiters and waitresses. That's a poor testimony. So you just treat people like a Christian. And I know many of you ladies don't bombard her, you understand, but Miss Virginia Mosier's here. She needs love. And she needs for people to help her. She's got a family, amen. But it's also good to have a church family. And I want you to help her, okay? Encourage her. Hug on her, ladies, hug on her. Men, keep your hands off, okay? A little bit of preacher Lashley in me, right? Jordan, I hope you're okay with this. I know you're visiting the church and all of this, but I'm going to ask you to lead us in a closing word of prayer. Is that okay if I ask you to do that? God bless you, my friend. Thank you. If you are a visitor, please take your card out and get your free gift out at the Welcome Center. Signing up also for the Valentine banquet, please do that and get people here. Thank you for being here. God bless you.